Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Dr. Richard Tooley, and we are doing a show that we're titling What's Normal About Paranormal? And I got into this when I started reading a book called Phenomena, and it was about the secret history of U.S. government and their investigations into extrasensory perception and psychokinesis and those types of phenomena. And I thought, you know what? If our government even is doing this in the name of science, what other things? And I know there's so many other things. So I thought, let's just talk about what's normal with paranormal. Is that a word?
Yeah, paranormal. You know, I was still wondering what was normal about normal, but I think paranormal is a good one. You know, one of the things I've seen in the United States that's been a growing thing ever since Ghostbusters came out is ghost hunting. You know, and that's part of this whole thing is now we start moving into the realm of ghost hunting. And I wonder, you know, as we think about this, that is an immediate tie into current religion. Most Protestants and even the Catholic Church have this view that, you know, there are dead spirits and dead souls walking around all over the world. And you know, that starts the opportunity for paranormal to come in from a non-Eastern religion standpoint.
Now, we tend to think that all of these demon possessions and everything only happen to people in other countries. But Satan is alive and well in every single country in the whole world. He's just alive and well. Now, in the United States, the history of modern spiritualism is attributed to the Fox sisters who moved with their family into this home. They had six children. Their parents, they were two of six children, and they began to hear this mysterious rapping noise. And so the two daughters, Maggie and Kate, gradually became brave enough to clap their hands and snap their fingers in an effort to hear these knocking sounds, and a series of raps responded to their raps. Soon,
yeah, you know, can I break in there?
Sure.
Just a minute. You remember going? We went and visited there. You remember?
Yes.
That was like a lifetime ago, but we went to this Fox sister's house. And yet, I'm going to inject this in here for a thought. Spiritualists consider themselves Christian.
Yes. In fact, you know, the Holy Spirit, sometimes what is attributed to the Holy Spirit is not really the Holy Spirit's. So the lines are becoming very blurred. You know, it's interesting that this modern spiritualism dates from 1848, and there was a whole revival going on around that time. It was a revival of great importance, and it's interesting how Satan then also brought in his religion.
Yeah, now let's visit this again. Spiritualists consider themselves as Christian. The only way that spiritualism could have a foothold is if one believes in an immortal soul. Because if you don't believe in an immortal soul, then you can't have the spirits of dead people floating around all over the place. And it's not a far stretch for pretty much all of the religions, both Protestant and Catholic, to see this immortal soul. But biblically speaking, I don't think you can support that.
Yeah, it really is a safeguard to believe that when you die, your unconscious spirit is protected by Jesus, the angels, but you are not consciously in a spirit form going around the earth, you know, giving advice or whatever you may do. it's just it's not something that we want to delve into. And as we talk about this, what is normal about paranormal, we'll realize that this is seeping into everything. I'm thinking, I'm going in the direction of, for me, I really do like natural remedies. I think that God gave us food for our health, and He gave us the eight natural remedies of nutrition, exercise, water, sunlight, temperance, fresh air, rest, trusting in God. Those are such wonderful natural remedies. But how easy is it for us to get sucked into all of these New Age kind of remedies or the Eastern culture? And at the same time, I have some questions. My question for you, Dr. Tooley, is this.
Yeah.
How do you know? It look at Galileo. You know, he was accused of all kinds of things because he had a new science. How do you know when it is really a new science and when it's not? For example, it makes sense that we have an aura around us, that there is an electrical field, that there's meridians in our bodies that travel and communicate to every part of our body. How do we know when we're into spiritualism, and how do we know when we're into new science?
That's a good question, because if you take a look at most Eastern religions, and among them, especially in the medical side of things, the Chinese rank way up there with understanding some things about the body that Western medicine doesn't. And I think when we move out of science, then we start running into problems. If we recognize that the body does have electrical fields around it, it does run on electricity, I don't think those things are so bad to recognize. I think when we start attributing intelligence to that kind of thing, if we wanted to take those electrical currents, for instance, that run around us, and pretty much in the Chinese culture, qi is the source of life for everything. Well, if you go back far enough and keep it out of the New Age realm, qi comes from God. You know, that the source of life. God is the source of life for everything, and so all qi comes from God. And there's an awful lot of belief in that. But when you move it to then into the New Age, this qi now becomes part of the force. And you now move into the yin and yang, which is the balance between good and evil, but they don't call it that. It's the dark and the light forces. The universe must remain in balance, and that's what the yin and yang is. As Christians, we don't necessarily believe that the universe will be in balance with light and dark, because we don't see sin as a counterpart to good. Sin is an abnormality. It didn't exist for eternity, and it won't exist for eternity. It's only here now for this little time that we're on Earth. So I think what has happened is that some of the stuff that is actually makes good medical sense has been subverted through some of these other philosophies that move you from looking at the science to looking at or attributing it to paranormal activity.
Go back in your childhood and think of the first time that you were aware of spiritualistic phenomena.
That would go back to my dad. And he got to witness some of that firsthand. In my childhood, where I got to witness it firsthand was in Africa. And I got to see juju at work while I was there. And it works. You know, I won't deny it. It works. I don't know that I will attribute it.
And so you can...
Yeah, I won't attribute it to being good, or, I will attribute it to Satan, but it works.
But we have to take a break right now, but we'll be right back. You've been listening to Education Currents. Be sure and like us on our Education Currents Facebook page and consider joining MRG Media in this radio ministry. You can call us anytime at 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome back to Education Currents. So let's go through our everyday life, because after all, the show is titled What's Normal About Paranormal? And the thing of it is, I really think that a lot of spiritualistic things have creeped into our everyday life. I know we've touched a little bit on alternative medicine, and we're now talking about our childhood and what impact spiritualism has had on that. I'm sure that some of us don't even realize the impact. We watch a show where things are going through the air and in a very paranormal fashion, and we become very used to it. Does it do any harm to our young people? Do you think there's an age where they can watch and be immersed in that and it doesn't have the same impact as when they're younger? What's your opinion on that?
Well, I believe that the world has changed quite a bit in my lifetime. We are going in two directions, it looks like, at least within the United States. One of it is an agnostic atheist direction, where we deny the existence of all paranormal because we claim scientifically it's not observable, therefore it isn't. And then on the other hand, there is an inurement that has happened among young people, not only an inurement, but an acceptance of paranormal. And the problem with the acceptance of the paranormal, in my view, is that it's attached to a much more pantheistic or deistic view of God than the Bible tells us.
Now, can you give an example of that?
Well, I think Star Wars is probably one of the quintessential examples of that. And Star Wars is a classic good versus evil type of thing. And when we're doing that, so Star Wars introduced us to this pantheistic view of God that was something that was, way earlier. It's a pagan concept for the god Pan. The god exists in everywhere and in everything, and you see it in the Mother Earth concept. It came in back in and roaring back in the 70s with this pantheistic this view of God being in everything, and Mother Nature not being kind, and all of these things about taking care of Mother Nature. So it's made its way in, not only through that, but it's made its way in different ways through all kinds of movies. You had E.T. coming out, and the idea of extraterrestrials coming onto the Earth, and then there are spirit guides. There's even a one show that was dealing with good and evil angels living on this earth, fighting it out. And so much of what we have now in terms of movies and TV have this spiritist element in it, this paranormal element. And yet, and it's kind of interesting, it's juxtaposed against an atheistic view that says there is no God. So kind of interesting.
Yes, I'm thinking that Hollywood has made the rating for the age of 13, knowing that prior to the age of 13, what children see is their literal experience. And then after the age of 13 or thereabouts, they have developed those neurons that say, oh, this is just pretend, or this is just fiction. This isn't something I really have to worry about or delve into. What is your take on at what age is it appropriate to watch things that are very spiritualistic in nature? And how can parents guide their children?
That's the most important question. I think after the age of 13, but with parental guidance. And, you know, that's not going to work very well if parents haven't been engaged with their children all along and help them recognize some of these things. But, you know, for example, Star Wars is also a great theme of the battle of good and evil. And yet, if it is not explained to a child, or the child is not helped to understand that this is just merely a show, it's fantasy, and given logical reasons why it's not real, I think it's dangerous at all levels. And you see it happening. It's an amazing thing. Ghost hunters are not children. These are adults who have developed sophisticated tools, other than vacuum cleaners attached to their backs, to run around and spot ghosts and to detect ghosts. Well, you know, when I was a young person, we had Casper the Friendly Ghost on TV. I don't know how much that has influenced all of these ghost hunters. I doubt much, but, you know, if there was no explanation for that kind of phenomena with young people, then now you've got those young people running around searching for ghosts.
Yeah, I find that they're very frightened, that our young people, the next generation, are much more frightened than our generation was. And I can't help but think it's because they've had a diet of fear food. Ghosts are a big thing in Gettysburg. There's ghost tours in Hagerstown. There's ghost tours. And I was just reading where the disciples were in the boat and they saw what they thought was a ghost walking on the water, and they were terrified. And they're adults. They were terrified. So way back, even in Bible times, ghosts were a terrifying thing.
Yeah. And then if you move on to the other part of it, I had a psychology professor in my graduate studies who had this belief that she could channel her husband anywhere. She could vision him being there, that the mind had the capacity to do phenomenal things that were outside of what most people would think, which would fall into the paranormal area. And there's a whole field of paranormal psychology that fits into that realm. So, you know, you find this, in Star Wars, for instance, the Jedi mind tricks, the Jedi capacity to use the mind. And that's not something that was just born in someone's imagination. That's something that has been, you know, around for a long time. I remember one person I met in Africa said they could turn themselves into anything they wanted to turn themselves into, but I never saw them do it. But this idea that your mind now can do some amazing things, or that there is a spirit guide there that is your spirit guide to help you through all kinds of trouble. And, you know, that kind of stuff now moves out of the realm of just ghosts, but moves into another realm of what happens. It all has to associate with what happens to the dead. And if you take Christianity out of it completely, or you take the concept of the dead being alive and running around, then you must end up with something like that force, this impersonal force, a force for the dark side and a force for the light side. And I remember there was a story a few years back of a man who had committed some pretty bad crimes and escaped into the mountains and had hidden the mountains for so long. And his mother was interviewed and she said, "He's not bad. He's just simply from the dark side." And I'm thinking that is coming around as a belief system that actually finds its way from pagan beliefs is an amazing thing to me.
Yeah. It, I'm thinking back to my first encounters with other children who were already immersed in the UFO. The UFO is also considered part of this paranormal phenomena. And the UFO, probably around the 70s, began to really take hold. It is still alive and well. Someone just shared with me a book the other day where the Jesuits have this very secretive place on a high mountain with some very high-powered equipment, and they are actually communicating with extraterrestrial beings and preparing the way for the second coming. And it was very interesting, as this person shared this book with me, that this totally is a counterfeit of the second coming. But they're preparing a way. And part of it is the indoctrination of UFOs and extraterrestrial beings.
Yeah, I mean, there's an ongoing philosophy on that. There are plenty of listening posts now listening to deep space to try and catch noises from deep space that would make sense as being coming from other planets or communications with intelligent life out there. Because people inherently recognize that you can't have hundreds of billions of stars and planets out there in this vast universe and only one have life on it as an intelligent life form. You know, it doesn't make rational sense to most people. So, yeah, they go looking for it. The problem is when you want to deny the existence of God and you want to put it into what would fall into either the Buddhist or the Hindu concept, you know, you have the opportunity to reincarnate, you know, and if you even go back to Richard Dawkins, comes along with the idea that, okay, life on this earth, while we evolved, maybe we had to be seeded here from extraterrestrial beings that seeded life here, and they had evolved from someplace where life was seeded on their planet, and on and on and on. You know, it gets very, very complicated. And you know, this is outside of the church. And yet within the church, we have some of the same kinds of phenomena going on that is attributed to being Christians. And it doesn't really have to do with life and death, but it has to do with a whole other area.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. It's in the music. It's in the type of discipling that they're doing, the meditation and the type of prayer. It's a very scary field, but I take great comfort in knowing that whatsoever things are good and whatsoever things are of a good report, think on these things. Pray without ceasing and make sure of your election. And we can only do that by reading the Bible and learning every day. And we've come to the end of the show, so I just have one last thing to say, and that is keep learning.
You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.